The international rare disease field is complex, difficult to manage, but it has a lot of people involved for different reasons and from different perspectives. We are rare but strong together, said one of our Rare Disease Day slogans, and this is really important. The Romanian Prader-Willi associations have met throughout the Romanian Aid Distribution UK from the very beginning of association. While looking for their support for the Association for Disabled People in Zalău, and they finalized at that time a center. They have been involved in different settings in the community of Zalău and Salaj area, from churches, schools, Center for Integration through Occupational Therapy for Disabled People in Zalău, renovating the steps to the future Center for Inclusion of the Street People, to supporting our association in the past with the renovation of the Center for Information for Rare Genetic Diseases in 2004 and for building the Neuro Center. Supporting for completing our own contribution in the project, which is always a big challenge in the projects. Over the years, we became close friends, said Tiberiu Dan. Even if we don't meet each other as many times as in the past, we know that we would support each other anytime, as we have built trust and understanding. Today, we have with us two of the persons deeply involved in the charity activities, Melanie Smith and Jim Cork, to talk with us at Radio Noro about their activities, their involvement in Romania, and particularly about their involvement in the rare diseases field. So, tell us a bit about yourself.
Okay, so my name's Melanie Smith, and my husband's Kevin, and we both work with a Fundazia, a charity from England working in Romania. But as a job outside of that, I work as a social worker in England. So I work in fostering, and where we assess families and friends who are going to care for children. So my job's social work, but I come to Romania with the charity Road.
Thank you. And you?
Hi, I'm James Cork. I'm a retired headmaster. I'm here with my wife, Joyce. Also, I'm a trustee of the Fundazia Road. With having retired, I have time on my hands to apply myself to the charity.
Thank you. So, what is the Road Foundation?
So, Road started more than 20 years ago, 1993, and we had a friend, he's an electrician, and he was asked by somebody else to come to Romania after Ceausescu was overthrown to help with a project in an orphanage to try and put the showers and electricity. So he came to Romania for the first time in 1993-94, and he got talking to people and to the children, asking them what were they looking forward to for Christmas, what presents did they want. And one child had asked for a skipping rope, and he thought about his children back in England and lots of gifts they'd get and what they would want, and this child wanted just a skipping rope. So he went back to England and said to people, I think we should do something. We need to do something to help. So he agreed we'd start to collect Christmas presents. So we went to local groups, churches, schools, asking people to buy one small present each. So that's when we started in 1994, was the first time we came to Romania, just with a small van of Christmas presents. And then 2 years later, we decided we needed to become a registered charity. So we became an official Fundazia and registered with the government. And each year then we developed the work that we did. So we started small, just with a small van. Then every year as we came, we saw different needs. So we progressed from just bringing Christmas presents to bringing many, many different things.
Nice. So you've been with it since the beginning?
Yep, I've been the secretary.
Yeah.
Since 1994, so more than 20 years. I think there's just two of us that original trustees, me and Paul Elliott, who's one of the originals as well. So yeah, more than 20 years.
Ooh. And you, Jim?
Hi, I've been with the Road for 12 years. Paul, the other trustee that Mel's just mentioned, came to talk to our Rotary Club to see if we could help with an old people's home in Krasna, renovating the showers. That's where it started. In the summer when we'd visited, we found that they were not going to continue with that old people's home. So we got involved with the municipio here in Zalao with the deputy mayor, and we got a block of flats which we set about renovating through road and through the Rotary Foundation, through which I got enough money to equip the centre. And with the help of your dad, Tibby, who was a site manager here, we managed to house 20 young people who were homeless. So that's where I started. I've been coming regularly ever since.
Nice. So tell us a bit about other projects that you have done in Romania.
Okay, so we went from bringing just the Christmas presents, and we used some of the local people and all the different churches and organisations to find families in the town. And then we started to realise that there were people with many needs, not just in the town, but the villages. So we went from just bringing the Christmas presents, we continued, but that became a bigger project, so we bought more Christmas presents, and we started to go around all the schools, so mainly in the villages, because obviously in the town, the schools are very big, whereas if you go to the village, there's maybe 30 children, 20 children. So we started to go to all the village schools, and then we progressed and we realised in the villages there were old people's homes, small centres where nobody else went. So we also started to do food parcels. So we had food parcels, Christmas presents, small projects where people perhaps needed some medical help. We'd help them with the cost of an operation. So many different things like that. It's only a small charity, so we never had big money. It was always smaller money. But then, as Jim said, we had the project for the Pasch Bravi Tour, and that building was derelict. And we were very fortunate that we then were able to make a partnership and apply for funding. And we had funding from Medicor in Liechtenstein, and they gave a big amount of money. And then the Rotary Club, Jim, worked hard and secured funding from there. So we had a partnership, and also with us here, with the centre and the City Hall, so that we could complete that project. So we were really pleased. We thought it would maybe take us 5 years to raise the money, but because we got the funding, we were able to do it much quicker. So those were our big projects. We've always looked for mainly small projects, but we've also looked for bigger projects as well.
Following the setting up of the accommodation at Pasch Bravi Tor, had this aim that it's all right housing the young people, but where do they go from there? And being in education, I was keen that they were trained and had the opportunity to get into the job market so that they had an income and it would improve their self-esteem, their self-respect. So I got a further grant from the Rotary Foundation in America. The Rotary Club of Woodhall Spa in England, of which I'm a member, started the ball rolling with allocating a sum of money which the foundation in America doubles, plus the fact the local district also adds to it. So we had enough money to have a year in which the residents of Pasch Bravi Tor were able to be trained. And since that time, it has continued with the social service department here in Zalao. And many of them have gone on, left the centre, and are now living in their own accommodation, are self-sufficient, and therefore not a drain on the state or the authority, which is wonderful. The main thing being that they have had a chance in life that maybe they wouldn't have had otherwise.
Thank you. We will be back in a few minutes. Till then, let's listen to some good music.
When I am down and all my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be.
So tell us about the project you had with the Prader Willi Association.
Okay, so it was many years ago we met Dorica, Dan, and it was when the infrastructure and the facilities for children or adults with disabilities were very poor. There was nothing. It was down to individual people, and also the access to any services were maybe just in one place across the country, and there was no coordination. So I can remember very clearly we were at somebody's house, and Dorica literally knocked on the door, introduced herself and said she'd heard we were from England and was looking at ways of supporting children with disabilities, and told us about Juana, her daughter, and the different things that she would like to do. And at that point in Zulu, there was nothing. And we were just really amazed that this person, this woman who had a daughter with a disability, came to find us just because she heard we were in Zulu and was very determined to ensure that her daughter, who had Prader-Willi syndrome, was able to get some support, and for other children, not just her own daughter, but for other children with disabilities and rare disease, that there was going to be something for them. And that's where our partnership started, really. Very simple to start off with, very small ways, just bringing small things across, maybe helping with a very small amount of finance, specific people, but I'm talking, you know, very small things. And then as things progressed, Dorica looked at more things. There was one centre already established that was in a building, but there was always a dream to have something much better. One centre where everybody could come and get the correct diagnosis. I think historically the problem was many children and young people and adults with disabilities, there was no way of them actually going somewhere to find out what the problem was. So the dream was that for young people and children with Prader-Willi, there'd be help and support and information. So that was the starting point. And then the next building, Dorica and Tibby found a building that needed a lot of work. It was just on one floor of an apartment. So we looked at ways we could help practically, so the rooms could be made, you know, really good. I think we helped with a boiler or some practical issues for the building, so that it was able to be used, so that there was somewhere there could be advice for parents and for children with Prader-Willi. So again, that was another very small way that we helped. And then it's progressed from there. Obviously, Dorica has gone on to be, you know, the most incredible person in terms of her fight to have good services and good diagnosis for children with disabilities and for Prader-Willi. And we've been a small part of the partnership since then. So with the NoRo Centre, again, we formed a partnership with another foundation from Holland as well, so, and then with Norway, so that we could apply for funding to enable children with Prader-Willi and other rare disease to get the right diagnosis, the right support, set up patient groups. I mean, it's amazing now, the services that are available, and it's just an incredible facility, which, and the most amazing part is that it's free for people to come and use and to get the information and help and advice that they need.
What's your opinion, Jim?
Well, I think from the very early beginnings, having seen the little central heating boiler in the original centre and walking out onto a balcony that was unprotected and four stories down to the courtyard below, which was, if you didn't have a head for heights, was quite something, to a couple of years, 3 years later, having the privilege and the honour of attending the first international conference in Cluj-Napoca at the university there, 3 years after that event, to have such a big stride forward was absolutely incredible. And it's all down to the drive that Dorica has had and the support of husband Tibby.
What do you think about Radio Noro?
I think it's an absolutely excellent idea. And obviously it's small beginnings at the minute. It's such an easy way for people to access, because most people now, I know not everyone, but most people can access the internet. If they haven't got it at home, they can go to, you know, a cafe, an internet cafe, and access that, or on their phones. So a lot of people do access the internet regularly. So it's a really good way of keeping people who are living some distance away to be able to keep in touch with what's happening. And it also means that if you're going to be talking to the different groups and the different rare disease, people can give information and advice, and they can also signpost people to where they need to be. So I think it's a great idea, and it also keeps people in touch, perhaps people who aren't so mobile, that can't get out. I think it's an absolutely excellent idea. Really good way of getting and sharing information around about internationally what's available and what's happening, and also locally and, you know, within the country as well. So yeah, I think it's going to be one of those things that grows as time goes on and that people can get more involved. So yeah, an excellent idea.
What do you think, Jim?
I think as a past educator, this is a key factor. Education is the way forward in any sphere, and particularly in a specialist need group such as the rare disease grouping that NORO deals with. I think it is a brilliant concept, and I wish every success to it, because it gives people who don't have the ability to be in touch and feel that they're excluded to integrate and learn from other people who are in the same position that they are, so that they don't feel isolated and alone. I think it's marvellous.
I am Dan Alexandru Tiberiu, and I am inviting you again next week at the Rare Diseases Planet. Thank you.